Look at this psalm tonight. This is one of the favorite songs that really spoke to me while I was in service. There were many a day I would turn to this psalm and read, and I would find help and comfort and peace through reading and just believing in this psalm. And I trust it will be a blessing to our hearts tonight as we look at Psalms 121, and I'll read the 8 verses found here. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen. Isn't that a precious psalm? Let us pray. Father, thank you for these words tonight, and thank you for the strength that they have given us in days gone by. And I know, Lord, that there are probably many people in our congregation here tonight who are going through some trials. They've hit a speed bump or maybe a curve in the road. And Lord, there are some that just really don't know how to handle life as it presents itself in this hour. Lord, I pray tonight that as we look to you and trust you, you'll lead us through these difficult times, and we'll come out on the other side stronger Christians and preserved by your mighty hand. Thank you for loving us and caring for us. Thank you for all that you're doing for all of us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Carolina Sandelberg wrote these words: day by day and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly, it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. A wonderful poem. There are many travelers along many roads in life today. For every pilgrim in this journey of life, the road will bend in a different direction. We can never know in advance which direction it's going to turn. The map doesn't display that kind of information for us. We must walk on until we meet the bend in the road or the dip or the speed bump or that steep uphill climb that has been set in the path for each of us. As we walk, we look to God for the grace to meet that defining moment in our lives. The bend in your road may be cancer, maybe the loss of a loved one. It may be divorce. It may be the loss of a job. I was thinking about Brother Tony this evening, and I know he's been through a deep valley with that Guillain-Barre disease that he's had since January, and reached a point in his life where he couldn't even breathe on his own. And had it not been for God using mechanical means and medical science to keep those lungs working and the oxygen going to his body and to his brain, Tony would not be here tonight. But Tony is here. And Tony has trusted the Lord through that difficult journey. And if you went to see him in the hospital or in a coastal rehab over these past several weeks, you've heard him testify to the grace of God and the goodness of God. We all need the Lord, don't we? What would we do without Him? In 1 Chronicles 29, verses 11 through 12, is a powerful scripture. In this passage, we learn, for all that is in heaven and earth is thine. In other words, God, you own everything. Thine is the kingdom. God rules over all, really. And thou art exalted as head above all. In other words, all of our difficulties, all the things that perplex us or beset us, they're not a surprise to God. Both riches and honor come of thee. If you're well-to-do tonight, that was not an accident. God bless you with the health and the mind and the wisdom or the opportunity to make a good living and to have a good income and come to the place and the status where you are tonight. Riches and honor do come of God. Thou reignest over all. God controls everything, even our destiny. In thine hand is power and might. In other words, God controls our health. In thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. You see, we are immortal until our work is finished. And so our question tonight, as we think about the difficulties and the perplexities of life, our question, I believe, in many hearts is, Lord, do you have something else for me to do? That's one of the things Brother Tony has already expressed, is God must have something for me to do for him to allow me to live and to continue breathing and to have this measure of health. I think about a Peanuts comic strip that I read some time ago, and you know, they're always showing the characters sharing their philosophy of life. And in one memorable strip, Lucy said, Charlie Brown, life is like a deck chair. Some position the chair to see where they have been, and some position it to see where they are at the present. And Charlie Brown turned to her and in his usual melancholy way said, Lucy, I can't even get my deck chair open. A lot of people feel that way about life. They don't know if it's all about looking back to see what life has meant, or looking forward to see what life will be, or simply just sitting tight and trying not to think too much about anything. They don't know how to get a grip on the meaning of things. How can they get a good view from the deck chair when the ship is moving so fast? Life is moving quickly, isn't it? I can't believe that I'll soon be 70 years of age. Where has time gone? But life, the pace is just too frantic, we think sometimes. And how can we stop long enough to consider the deep meanings of life that God wants us to think about and to know and experience? Even for Christians sometimes, the topic of pain and suffering and the ultimate meaning of life can be complex and confusing. Some are asking, how can we cope with all that's going on? One thing is certain. Just as we begin to ponder all these questions and start to take ourselves seriously, we're humbled by the words of Scripture, which says, life is like a vapor that just appears for a little time and then vanishes. It's like grass that grows for a season, only to be cut down. In Scripture, we see that life is a journey. And we must all walk the path. It's like the song, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. In this beautiful psalm, Psalms 121, we are encouraged to trust God, even when life gives us something that we haven't asked for, and certainly something that we cannot understand. The confidence expressed in Psalms 121 is rooted in the grandeur of the psalmist's vision of God, the maker of heaven and earth, the Lord who can be trusted to help us at every point along the journey, through the sunny passages of day as well as the darker trek through the forests of night. He is not only the destination of the journey, but our God is also the strength for every step of the journey. Would you agree?
Amen.
God is my refuge and my strength. And whether it be mountainous crags or desert wastelands, I want to tell you tonight, we can trust the Lord. We can trust the Lord. Our God, yes, is an awesome God. There are no words that can fully describe Him. We feel so small and insignificant, but the psalmist assures us that God bridges the gap. Our God is never too great to care about the least of us. And we are never too small for His caring. The psalmist reflects on a God who soothes us in our anxiety and watches over us as the shepherd watches over his sheep. The Bible never lies to us by claiming that all of life is easy. Some people have that mistaken idea about life. But Job said, "Man that's born of woman is a few days and full of trouble." Are your days full of trouble? Have you found that to be true? You're not just floating to heaven on a flowery bed of ease tonight, are you? I think we're all facing some difficulties, some trials, some testings, some weaknesses. Somehow, when troubles come, people think that, well, maybe God just isn't all that He's cracked up to be. Some people come to the irrational conclusion that the presence of trouble implies the absence of God. A greater mistake cannot be imagined. God's word reminds us that we are strangers and pilgrims in a foreign land, and a land that is filled with uncertainty. The road is long and weary and dangerous. It winds through vales of tears sometimes. John Bunyan talked about a slough of despond, which is very real in our lives at times. But the long and winding road finally comes to the city of God, the place of joy and pleasures forevermore, according to Psalm 16, verse 11. Simply stated, that's the biblical view of life in the world. So where can we go for assistance as we travel the dangerous roads of this life, as we go down the paths that traps have been set for us, or that are beset by terrorists and people who would do us harm? Our hope tonight is not in our own wisdom. Our hope tonight is not in really other people. Our hope tonight is in God. You'll note the possibilities for help in Psalms 121. In verse 1, the psalmist said, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills." He considers his journey through the mountains to Jerusalem. And as he starts on that road, he takes a moment to gaze up to the horizon, and he thinks of the miles ahead, the twists, the turns, the surprises, and he thinks of the dust and the heat and the darkness and the thirst. And he admires the graceful lines where the mountains embrace the sky. There's something grand and majestic about the mountains, isn't there? I've gone through the mountains of West Virginia and gone up through Blue Ridge, traveled the Blue Ridge Parkway and different areas in America that's been so beautiful. There's something about the majesty of mountains that invokes the majesty of God. In Psalms 125, verses 1 and 2, I think this captures the same idea. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, even forevermore. And so the writer makes this statement in Psalms 121, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. The traveler looks at the hills and then he looks inward. And as he looks inward, he asks a question. Where am I going to find help? He feels all the hesitancy and concern that many of us do before we set out on this long and difficult journey. Traveling has a measure of insecurity about it. What if something terrible happens? Some of us now really have a hard time flying. And with the news of the train wrecks and all recently everywhere, we have questions about traveling by rail anymore. And what's going to happen if we meet up with a terrorist and the plane falls out of the sky? And I mean, all these things come. And even driving home tonight, are we going to get there safely? Who can I turn to? Where can you turn when you're wondering if every path you go down is booby-trapped? Or if there is someone ready to ambush you? Psalms 121, the traveler is talking to himself. We all do it. And he feels a little anxiety about getting through the high hills to arrive at his faraway destination of Jerusalem. After all, it was in going down from Jerusalem to Jericho that occasioned the story that Jesus told about a man being beaten and robbed and left for dead. And probably would have died had it not been for the Good Samaritan. And so our traveler naturally thinks, well, will anyone really help me if I get attacked or if I get sick or if I run out of money? 101 things. And so he looks around and he looks within. And if that's as far as he looks, he's scared to death, I can promise you. There's not much comfort in what we see around us. There's not a great deal of comfort when we come to trusting our own intuition, our own selves. But finally, the psalmist looks above. We can look above for help. In verse 2, my help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. You see, here we find the solid foundation of this psalm. Here is the essence of this song. I've looked within, I'm not sufficient for this. But finally, I've looked up and I've realized the source of my help, it comes from no one but God. And what a lesson that is for us here tonight. Our help comes from the Lord. The Lord here is described as the God who made heaven and earth, mountains included, as majestic as they are. Do you think these words are just window dressing? Just flowery, poetic speech without meaning? Not at all. You see, these words are chosen very deliberately. The idea of being loved by a creator who hung the stars in space and set the earth upon its course is a powerful source of encouragement. If he can guide the planets, surely he can guide our little steps here in this life. If he can scoop out the valleys and push up the mountains, there is no task too hard in our lives for him. Psalms 115, verse 15. Oftentimes the Hebrews would use scriptures to bless each other, like this verse. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. What a wonderful blessing that is. Psalms 134, 3. The Lord who made heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. And then Psalms 146, verses 5 and 6. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth. You see, the power of these blessings is wrapped up in the idea that since God is the creator of all things, and since all things are his handiwork, his power is unlimited. He is not to be questioned. The Creator has made everything that we can see and that we can touch, visible and invisible. I will look unto the hills. Those very hills testify to the greatness of God. When we cast our faith and our hope on him, we're not only coming to a God who cares, we are coming to a God who can. Amen. Nothing is impossible with our Lord. Nothing is impossible that is within his will. Amen? Amen. God is not merely the God who created all things, but he's the God who is sustainer of all things. You know, Colossians 1, 16 and 17 tells us, by him were all things created, and by him all things consist. Now, I think this is important because at some time during history, God has been characterized by philosophers as a kind of cosmic watchmaker who has created the world and then abandoned it to its own devices to just tick away until the moments run out of time. That's not the God of the Bible. After creation, he is intimately involved in the work of his hands. He holds it all together. I believe if even for a moment God were to remove his hands from this universe, it would not tick happily away like a watch in the grass. It would fly apart into oblivion. But our God doesn't do that. Our God sustains us. He creates and he sustains. On that day when your journey brings you to a bend in the road, you may be filled with an unutterable sense of helplessness. But when you cry out, Lord, I really do need your help. In your moment of deep anxiety, remember this. The one you are praying to is the one who made heaven and earth. My oldest son and his wife are here tonight. Gary was wounded in service in the, he was a deputy in the Sheriff's Department, Union County. The doctors were shocked. They were amazed that he lived. My son, who sang with me this morning, played the musical instrument tonight, is alive because we have a God who cares. My daughter-in-law, Beverly, she's sitting there with him tonight. She was in a head-on collision with an 18-wheeler. He had to cut her out of the car and met her back to Charlotte, CMC up there. 18 broken bones in her body. But we serve a God who can. And I don't know why it is or how it is. Maybe God will explain it to us one day, but I kind of believe when we get to heaven, it really won't be all that important. Sometimes God chooses one of his children to go through the fire to encourage the rest of us who are stumbling along life's pathway and encountering one bend in the road or another. And we look at others who have made it, and their faith is still intact. Their eyes are still on the God who made the hills. And we do not despair. When we cry, Lord, I need your help, we remember He's the one who made heaven and earth. He's the Creator God. Regardless of the problem you may be facing today, you may be weary from the struggle of it all. The problem may seem insurmountable to you. But take a deep breath. Take a new look to the one who created and sustains every atom of this universe. He's up to the challenge, don't you think? Amen. I believe He is. About, I guess, 3 years ago, my youngest brother, Robbie, lost his wife to cancer. Robbie's 5 years younger than I. And I guess it was about a year later, we were at my home church, and Robbie was there, and he was asked to sing a medley of songs, and as I sat and listened, to my brother sing, who is now living alone and has had to say goodbye to a loving wife who played the music for him, sang with him. Robbie's alone now. Well, not really alone. But because the first song he sang was Precious Lord, Take My Hand. Lead me on. Let me stand. The second song he sang was, He's My Lord. And the third song in that medley was, Something Beautiful, Something Good. The fifth song, or rather the fourth song, was, I'd Rather Have Jesus. The fifth, you know the song, Many Things About Tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Robbie had learned to look unto the hills and seen evidence, and see the evidence of the power and the majesty of God, and He has looked beyond the hills to the one who made them. And he's found his refuge and strength to go on. Some time ago, I read the story of a fisherman who was fishing for smallmouth bass in Huntington County, Pennsylvania. One morning, he was wading along in knee-deep water in a section of Stone Creek, casting his lure in along the bank where he had previously caught many bass, To his amazement, cast after cast returned with no action whatever. And suddenly his attention was drawn away from fishing. And through the sunrise, the dim sunrise light, he saw a small herd of white-tailed deer walking toward him. And as he stood motionless there in that river, he watched with fascination as they approached, unaware of his presence. It was not until they were about 30 yards away that the first doe saw him. Very alertly, she began to watch the fisherman, trying to figure out the strange figure standing there in the water. And soon all six or seven deer were watching him. And then all of a sudden, they decided it was time to go, and they bounded up the creek bank and started running across the field that bordered the creek. As the fisherman watched the deer running along or across the field in the early morning light, he was grateful for this simple encounter with such beautiful creatures. And then suddenly, while he continued to watch, one of the big older does in the herd spun around and began running back toward the creek. With ease, she leaped off the bank into the water. In seconds, she had crossed the creek and was starting to climb up the bank at the base of the mountain. After a few seconds, he turned his attention back to the other sheep, or sheep deer. I'm thinking sheep deer. We're talking about deer in the field. But then he noticed that one of the small fawns had decided to follow this adult doe. The little deer bounded across the field, approached the 6-foot-high creek bank, leaped into the air just as the older deer had done. His little body struck the water and disappeared beneath the surface in that shallow creek. Immediately, the fisherman dropped his fishing gear, splashed his way to the place where the little fawn had landed. The motionless little body was slowly tumbling along beneath the surface of the water. He bent down and gently picked up the apparently lifeless form of the little fawn. And for just a brief moment, the little deer lay limp in his arms. And suddenly, it sneezed several times, and the little body began gasping for air. And within seconds, he came to life and jumped out of the fisherman's arms. He waded to the shoreline, climbed up the bank, began running back to the rest of the deer standing out there in the field. In just a short time, the entire herd, including the little fawn, was out of sight. The fisherman said, as I stood there contemplating the whole experience, I tried to imagine what the little fawn must have been thinking. He had tried to keep up, but he couldn't. He wasn't big enough. He wasn't strong enough. He wasn't smart enough to do what the bigger deer had done. And as a result, he had landed in a helpless, hopeless condition that may have meant death. If the fisherman had not been standing nearby. In Psalm 73, verse 26, the psalmist said, "My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. I think I understand how this writer felt. It's the same way the little deer felt. There are times in life when we grow weak and weary and failure looms before us. And yet, there is comfort in knowing that our insufficiency can be handled by a God who is all sufficient. There is someone standing in the shadows, keeping watch for his own. There is someone who is strong when I am weak. When I have crashed and gone under in the current of life, like the fisherman was there for the little deer to lift it up, to hold it in his bosom until it could breathe again. So my God is there for me, and he's there for you. He was there for the psalmist. He's there for every one of us tonight, if we will but look unto him. He's the God of surprises. He's the God who can bring us through when no one thought we could survive. He's the God who can raise up out of dust and ashes